I'm at the Byron Bay Writers Festival and I'm talking to Carolyn Baum. Good afternoon, Carolyn. Thank you for being part of Arts Canvas at the Writers Festival.
It's a pleasure to be here.
I'd like to talk to you about Booktopia and how you feel that it might have changed the face of book retailing and book consumption in this country.
Gosh, well, that's a kind of business question, and I'm sort of rather protected in a way from the business side of things, because I'm really there as a champion for books, and I'm there to help people through the sort of minefield of how you choose a book to read, because I think people are so time poor and money conscious that they don't want to make a mistake with a book. When you go into a bookshop sometimes, my experience is a kind of snow blindness where you see all these covers, they're all dazzling, they're all competing for your attention. How on earth do you choose? And so at Booktopia we have something called The Buzz, which is a monthly newsletter that I write, which is free and which you subscribe to. And I hope that what I'm doing there is choosing 10 or 15 books a month that you might graze through and think, yep, that sounds like me. And I'm trying to help you avoid the disappointment of picking up the wrong book in the bookshop. Of course, what we've been doing from the business side is we've been selling books at a discounted price so that you can afford to buy more books. Books are not cheap. For many people, they are a luxury item. Of course, that's why public libraries are such a fantastic part of our ecology for readers. I think, you know, often we forget and we take for granted our public library system. It doesn't exist in every country in the world. You can go to lots of countries in Europe where there are no lending libraries, and that's a bit of an eye-opener. So that's one part of the economy, and we're there discounting, and we're trying to offer as many titles from around the world and across Australia as we can at the best possible price. But we are also very conscious that, not being Amazon, we pay our taxes locally, and we consider ourselves to be good citizens, and we are part of the Australian economy, and that's how we want to be.
Well, let's get back to the fascinating idea of being sort of like a book broker, like being sort of an interim there where people can get sort of a recommended list, and which of course simplifies it, because I think one of the problems is in Western society, too much choice tends to paralyze people, as you say.
It really does, and publishing is just so vast in terms of all the niches, all the genres, all the strands. One of the things that I fought very hard for in all my kind of professional life, whether it was at the ABC or founding Good Reading Magazine or now at Booktopia, is, I don't know about you, but the way I read is that I like to span across lots of different genres. And in the publishing industry, they make a distinction, which I think is completely artificial, between literary fiction and commercial fiction. I don't think like that. I don't think readers think like that. I don't think when you go into a bookshop, you go, I feel like some literary fiction today. I think it's more like when you go into a restaurant, you see something on a menu and you don't think to yourself, do I want protein or carbohydrate? Unless you're being diet conscious. You just think, yum, that sounds great. And that's how I think we pick books. I don't like the idea of someone telling me this is highbrow and this is lowbrow. When I go on holiday, I might want something more relaxing. Or sometimes when I go on holiday, that's the only time I've got to read something truly challenging. So I'm there not so much as a broker. I see myself as your navigator. I am your personal navigator. If you trust me, if you build up a relationship of trust with me by following me for a few months and knowing what my taste is and seeing whether it chimes with yours, I might be able to introduce you to a book or two that you might otherwise have missed along the way. Because that's the other thing I've noticed, that if you look at the review pages in the media, they're very squeezed. The pages in the Sydney Morning Herald or the pages in The Age, the amount of reviews they run these days is very small compared with all that mass of books out there. So I love the fact that because online you don't have space limitations to run reviews, we can run as many reviews as we like because there is no space. We are in a virtual world which is limitless. So that's really how I see my job.
Now, this must mean, of course, that you end up doing an awful lot of reading yourself. And is it sometimes difficult to actually get through the amount of reading that you need to do this job?
Yes, is the short answer. Look, this year has been a particularly acute year, and it's entirely my fault. On average, I would read 15 to 20 books a month. I don't live in Sydney anymore. I live on the coast, on the south coast. And so I think that sometimes the fact that I live away from city distractions has made it easier to concentrate on books. Books for me have replaced going to the theatre, going to the movies. That's the role they have in my life. So I'm reading a huge amount, you're right. Then this year, I was a judge for the Stella Prize, so that meant an extra 60 books to read over 3 months. Then, for some stupid reason, I agreed to be a judge for the Ned Kelly True Crime section of the Crime Writing Awards. That was an extra 20 books that I hadn't read, including grisly, grisly books about Chopper Reed and Ivan Milat and things I wouldn't normally read. But I did find some fantastic true crime that I wouldn't otherwise have been aware of. And now I'm doing some research for a project of my own because I got awarded a fellowship earlier this year. And so I'm undertaking preparatory research for a book that I'm going to write hopefully next year. So it's monstrous. And look, there is a trick to it. And I'm probably divulging a bit of a secret here, but, well, on judging panels, I have noticed that the way that judges get through these huge piles of books that they have to read is that there's generally an agreed cut-off point. For some judges, it's 100 pages. For some judges, it's 70 pages. Generally, I think that if a book has failed to engage you within 70 to 100 pages, it's a pretty surefire bet that it won't engage you, and at that point you might be willing to move on. So that is often a guideline. For me, it's a real test of the amount of pressure I'm under at Booktopia. If I am absolutely determined to finish the book, then I know it's a corker. So, for example, I started reading Mark Dapin's new book, R&R, about two military policemen in a village in Vietnam during the war. And I had a prejudice against the book. I don't like particularly blokey books. I don't like books set in war. I'm just not interested in reading about war. By page 19, he had made me laugh out loud at least twice. The book is absolutely brilliant. And whilst I had got the tone and the flavour and the colour of it easily by the 200th page, enough to write about it confidently and recommend it, I had to finish the book. I had to.
Thanks for talking to us, Caroline.
Pleasure.